It's the Currents Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Tuesday, November 27th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade, bringing you news about a childhood favorite that is coming back to you.
And I'll be talking about a metal band that you've never heard of, but is going viral for an epic breakup announcement. But first, a few of today's headlines. Head Over Heels, the Broadway musical featuring the music of the Go-Go's, will close on January 6th after less than 6 months of performances.
And this is another one of those jukebox musicals, right? It doesn't even really tell the story of the Go-Go's, yeah.
No, in fact, it uses the Go-Go's music to tell a story from a 16th century prose poem. Kind of a bold idea, and it earned mixed reviews. Some people really liked the sheer weirdness. Other people thought, nah, this is just bad. Commercially, according to the New York Times, it was unambiguously a flop. They did not mince words. The producers are likely to lose over $10 million of their investment.
See, this just goes to show you, instead of doing these jukebox musicals, why don't you actually use the story of the band? Because it's pretty cool, and you can use their own music in some other sort of way.
Maybe we'll get the Go-Go's musical reboot in years to come.
I'm in for it.
On Monday, the world was cheering the successful arrival of NASA's InSight Mars lander on the Red Planet. The lander landed, and then Green Day said, "Hey, guess what? The lander has a chip on it that says Green Day since 1986, the year we were founded. Out of this world!"
Wait, but like, why Green Day? Did they pay something? Why? What kind of chip is this?
Well, the answer is, I have no idea.
Oh, okay, good, great.
No one really seems to know. Green Day shared a photo of what seems to be the chip, but Billboard has not been able to get NASA to explain how did a chip that's a tribute to Green Day get on the Mars lander. Presumably, we'll get answers to these questions in days to come, but in the meantime, Green Day fans are loving it. My favorite response was a fan who tweeted, "I like how you got onto Mars before 30 Seconds to Mars did."
Obviously not a Jared Leto fan.
A man named Roberto LaRusso has released the 10-minute audio of a previously unheard interview he conducted with Kurt Cobain in 1991, just 4 days before the release of Nevermind.
Wow. So what was on this? What new Kurt news do we know?
You know, it's an unexceptional interview, which is why he sat on the audio for nearly 30 years. You might be wondering, if you've got this audio, why not release the tapes? Well, here's the thing. He was a college DJ at the time, and in releasing the audio, he admits the interview was objectively terrible by all journalistic standards. And he adds, to Mr. Cobain's credit, he was remarkably patient and kind, considering how not well prepared I was. So maybe he had to like reach a certain level of personal maturity to feel like, all right, let's put this out there for the Nirvana fans. Well, the most notable passage in the interview comes towards the end when LaRusso asks Kurt Cobain about an unspecified previous interview in which he says Kurt Cobain had said in this previous interview that white people shouldn't rap because they ripped off black people for long enough. Here's what Kurt Cobain said in response.
I'm a fan of rap music, but most of it's so misogynist and that I can't even deal with it. I'm really not that much of a fan. I totally respect and love it because it's one of the only original forms of music that's been introduced, but it's the white man doing rap is just like watching a white man dance. We can't dance. We can't rap. You know?
Well, our producer, Anna, who's listened to a lot of interviews, says that LaRusso shouldn't be so hard on himself. She says she's heard way worse interviews.
Hopefully not from us. Sesame Street Records is back. Yes, classics like C is for Cookie, Rubber Ducky, and Being Green will all once again be available for you to own and to stream. Yeah, Sesame Street has teamed up with Warner Music Group with a huge multi-year deal to share never-before-released music from the past and current seasons of Sesame Street, as well as massive, and I'm talking about 20 years worth of back catalog music, which is already available to stream and download. So now it's all going to be in one place. And they have these additional plans for the label, including new cover songs and parodies, those that don't come from the show itself, but that they just kind of go into the studio and do, as well as thematic compilations around topics covered in the past and current seasons. So they're going to start releasing new compilations on CD and vinyl next year. I, for one, am very, very excited about this, Jay.
When I learned this news, I went to Spotify and started scrolling through the Sesame Street classic albums that have come back out, and I had to immediately contact my mom. Because, I mean, Christmas Eve on Sesame Street, which of course we had on vinyl, is back out. The Disco album is back out. The Beatles parody is back out. There's a Pete Seeger collaboration.
Yeah, they put out their first album back in 1970. And throughout the years, they've featured people like Ray Charles, The Carpenters, Michael Jackson, Johnny Cash, Paul Simon, Destiny's Child, Fugees, and the Dixie Chicks. So this is pretty huge for fans of Sesame Street who kind of want to go back to the classics or who are excited to see what could happen next.
C is for Cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for Cookie, that's good enough for me. C
is what is it about metal bands that just makes everything they do a little extra?
Because that's their whole thing, Jay. It's longer hair, darker clothes, louder, more aggressive, a little bit more in your face.
Well, the Canadian metal band Witchrot, who achieved no great distinction during their brief career as a band, have just blown up with their breakup notice.
What caused this rift?
Band member Peter Turek wrote a note on the band's Facebook page explaining what's going on with the band. And he writes, "Due to the unfortunate reality of our guitarist, my girlfriend of almost 7 years, Witchrot will be taking an extended hiatus. I, however, will continue the band in another space and time. Being ripe with hate, the music is slowly flowing and without a doubt will become the most devastating, torturous music I have ever created. Thanks for the support. Stay heavy. Peter. Also, our drummer died."
What? Did he? What a closer.
We know so little about Witchrot, and now yet we know so much.
I know, but Jay, it's like Pandora's box. Now I have all these questions. Is the drummer really dead? How did he die? Is there a side project? Who is this girlfriend? What's going on?
And are the band just going to have to get back together now, Fleetwood Mac style, having become so popular that they can go through the worst possible breakups and just have to play again because they're going to sell so many tickets? This post announcing their breakup now has twice as many shares on Facebook as the band ever got likes for their Facebook page in the first place. Well, RIP Witchrot, shortly did they rot. But they rotted so hard. Here's a track from their self-titled EP with the very metal song name, Druid Smoke Part 1, parentheses, The Keeper. The news has just broken that Steven Hillenburg, the creator of Nickelodeon's SpongeBob SquarePants, has died of Lou Gehrig's disease at age 57.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was sick.
Very few people apparently did, because fans were really surprised by this and obviously very saddened. That show debuted in 1999 and has become a huge hit. People love that show. They love the characters. The Rip My Pants episode, I think, is one of the great comedic masterpieces of television history.
Well, and then they did the musical, which featured so many musicians that we know and love. Flaming Lips were a part of that.
We could thank him for getting David Bowie, Steven Tyler, and They Might Be Giants one little step closer to an EGOT. Because, yeah, that Broadway musical happened based on SpongeBob SquarePants, debuted in 2016. Now it's on Broadway and has music written by this whole host of famous rock stars like the ones we've been naming. And it ended up landing 12 Tony nominations. It only won one for Best Scenic Design of a Musical, but the musical alone has been making huge news in the music world. And, of course, we're all thinking about Steven Hillenburg and his beloved creation.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye!
Oh, who lives in a pineapple?
And that's today's music news. You can read more about all those stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Anna Wagle. If you're enjoying this podcast, please let your friends know. We love listeners. You can get more of them, all the better. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines.
SpongeBob.